thank you for tuning in and spending your evening or early morning with me here. I am Dave Schrader. I'll be back again tomorrow night hosting Coast to Coast AM. Brad Meltzer's with me in hour one. And then John Potash is with me in hours two, three, and four. His new book, Drugs as Weapons Against Us, the CIA's murderous targeting of SDS, Panthers, Hendrix, Lennon, Cobain, Tupac, and other activists. That's what we'll talk about tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. Open phone lines begin now. We had a great talk with Ursula Bielski from ChicagoHauntings.com about Haunted Windy City, all the strange spirits from the Chicagoland area where I grew up. Interesting story out of England. House haunted by poltergeist, which lifted a woman out of her bed, is now listed for rent on Rightmove. Potential tenants may have to share the house in Liverpool with an unwanted guest after significant paranormal activity has been reported by previous inhabitants. A house reported to be haunted by a poltergeist, which lifted a woman out of her bed, has been listed for rent on Rightmove. Potential tenants may have to share their home in Liverpool with this unwanted guest. There's been a lot of significant paranormal activity claimed by previous inhabitants, with one expert saying it is haunted by a poltergeist spirit from the 1800s. Situated in Pickwick Street in Toxeth, potential tenants will need nerves of steel to arrange a viewing of a three-bedroom terraced property at Liverpool Echo reports. Social housing group Plus Dane, who own the property, have confirmed reports of paranormal activity were first made in 2008 by then-residents. On the market for only £91 per week, anyone moving into the property will need to be aware of their potentially paranormal new roommates that they'll share the house with, which an expert has described as a violent spirit. It previously lifted the former tenant out of her bed and shook another house so much that the owner thought it was going to collapse. Local paranormal expert Tom Sleeman says that the ghost, known as the Pickwick Poltergeist, was first reported over 130 years ago. The Rightmove listing for a Toxeth house, which is reportedly haunted by a 135-year-old poltergeist, the Rightmove listing for this house is on there currently. You can rent it only £91 per week. He said there's been stories about an unusual poltergeist on Pickwick Street that date back to the 1880s at least. And the unusual is the fact that it seems to get around. Most ghosts stick to a haunting on one property, but there are a rare few who seem to flit from house to house, often on the same street. And the Pickwick Street poltergeist is one of those. A landlady connected to the letting of number 69, Mrs. Euphemia Nimlock, was also lifted out of her bed by the same violent spirit. And another neighbor, Ismail Jones, over in number 70, was under the impression the house was going to collapse because of the vibrations and shaking and banging. The listing describes the abode as a three-bedroom terraced house in a popular location off Park Road, close to the Tesco Superstore. It has two singles and one double-bedroom rear yard, upstairs bathroom, and two living rooms. But it then adds, please note previous tenants have advised us that they have experienced paranormal activity at this property. A spokesman for Plus Dane said Plus Dane received reports of unusual activity at this property from 2008 and on, and has worked with the tenant involved to look in ways in which they could help. We don't get involved directly in instances such as this, but we like to help advise and support our tenants if they are experiencing these issues, and we take them very seriously. As a part of their approach for being open and honest, we wanted to make anyone interested in this property aware of these past reports. And it comes after ghostly hands were spotted in images, I guess, in some of the photographs. The images of this three-bed dwelling in the Camden neighborhood Liverpool neighborhood can be seen online. Some really chilling ideas. Boy, would you move into a house where they are straight up telling you that it is haunted and that the past tenants have said that it is a violent haunting? What are your thoughts on this? Give me a call. Let me know what your thoughts are. It's open phone lines. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. All right. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, this evening, taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open. We're going east of the Rockies to start it off. Mike in Dorset, Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
I'm doing good, but I'll get better. What's going on this evening?
Oh, we're hanging in. Not much. Now, I was calling to talk to you a little bit about the Purge movie that recently come out.
Sure.
I don't condone senseless killing, but I kind of agree with what goes on in those movies. And I was wondering what your opinion would be if the United States actually would have a Purge night and how everything would go.
Oh, that's madness. I'm not for it at all. I mean, how do you protect your family and friends? Even the people you saw in the movie were not able to protect them. That was one of the guys that created one of the strongest security systems. And I understand, again, that's fiction and it's a movie, but I think there's other ways to handle things. Violence and allowing one night of just unadulterated crime and murder. As the father of seven myself, I could never see that being something I would go for.
No, because, I mean, I've told, you know, friends and family whenever whoever talked to me about it, I said, you know, I think, you know, the first time they would have it, the killings would be down to a minimum. You know, only your really nutballs and psychos would be out there killing. But your property damage and, you know, stuff like that would be, you know, through the roof. But then if they were to do that, you know, years and years later, then I think your murders and stuff like that would skyrocket.
I sadly think there would be a lot more murders. I mean, look at what happens when some of these riots kick up. It doesn't take much to get people inspired to do violence against one another, and murder and mayhem would happen so easily if people felt they had a carte blanche to have it happen. I think you would see a lot of people that you figure to be good people right now that would unleash and do horrible things. And I'm not saying that I believe people are inherently horrible, but I think there's a lot of anger and tension and aggression built up in people, a lot of rage out there. And I would be afraid if they uncork that genie, they will never put it back in the bottle, ever. But thanks a lot for calling in this evening, Mike. Appreciate the call. Strange premise. I mean, would anybody be up for that idea? I can't see that happening. First time caller, Kevin in Houston, Texas. What would you like to know and what would you like to speak about?
Yeah. Hi, Dave. I'm going to tell you a story that my ex-wife had an experience with in Galveston, Texas, a known haunted city.
Excellent.
Where she had stayed at a place and she was being stalked from a guy in Houston, and she went for the weekend to Galveston and stayed in a place which was very close to where the flood back in 1906, I think it was, or when Galveston was wiped out, and a church where a lot of children were killed. And she had been at this place. The guy found out that she was down there, and he went down there and found her. And she tells me this, that he had found her. She opened the door. She was at a hotel room, and she opens the door, not knowing, not expecting him to be there or anything like that. But he had found her, and he shot her five times right there, point blank.
Oh, good grief.
One through the neck, one through the arm, and three in her back. Right there, and she falls down, and she falls in the apartment down like that, and he goes away. And apparently, I find out later that he goes to get a hacksaw out of his truck. And she said that when she was coming around to that, the two children appeared to her and told her, "Get up! You got to get up!" And she couldn't. She couldn't get up. And she said when he came through. The other end of the apartment, there were two doors, a front door and a back door. When he came through the back, that they picked her up, these two children, picked her up, light-bearing children type of thing, picked her up, and the three of them passed through the door. And just, she told me that she, and she's a religious woman. She's not going to make things up. She's very religious, and she said that they had picked her up and the three of them had passed through the door out into the walkway, and when he came out through the door and as soon as he touched her, they disappeared and she dropped to the floor, and he started trying to drag her in. Witnesses came and people started yelling to get him away from her, and he started trying to drag her back, and then he ran off. He got caught later, and he's doing time. He's in prison now, but she told me that the children came telling her to get out, and she passed through the front door.
That is astounding. I've heard of ghosts helping to intercede and try to lead people to safety, but I've never heard them helping someone actually become corporeal, or not corporeal, but ghost-like and able to pass through that type of door or a wall before.
Frightening stuff. I've looked at her feet, the tops of her feet, with the marks from the sidewalk, from her being pulled, as if you were dragging somebody, on the tops of her feet. These, you know, marks, these, you know, scrapes that she had, where they pulled her along. She told me that her feet were just dragging, and he held her and pulled her up, and they just went through the door out to the sidewalk. But as soon as he touched her, they dropped. Or she dropped, and they disappeared.
That's remarkable. Remarkable. Now, in the time that you were...
Five shots with a 45 to the back, 10 feet away, and she lives to this day.
Somebody was definitely watching out for her. Now, during the time you knew her and you were with her, was there ever any strange supernatural activity that took place around you?
No, nothing like that. No, I myself was, we weren't, you know, no, we never had anything like that, anything supernatural. But like I say, she's a very religious, and I'm not.
Well, I would have thought, yeah, if she had that kind of protective spirit around her, I just wondered if anything ever leaked over again, you know, into that kind of realm where you would have those type of experiences. But you say that never occurred in your presence. How long were you two together?
11 years.
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years. We have a daughter together. And, you know, my daughter was born at that time. She took my daughter to the bus that morning. And when she came back, this guy was there. He was just there, and we didn't even know how he found her or anything.
Wow. How does that make you feel? I mean, you look at something like this, that definitely proves that there's something beyond what we believe is just going on around us. For people that are on the fence post about if they believe in the supernatural and the paranormal, that's one of those kind of encounters where it's just kind of, once you hear it, it's almost impossible to pass the
yeah,
idea that it just doesn't exist.
Being a religious man.
Right.
And her being, you know, very religious, and that, and I know she's not to make this up. She's not that type to just, you know, make this kind of stuff up. And man, I'm telling, when she told me that story, I was there in the hospital with her afterwards. And, you know, when she got better, and the doctors don't know how she lived. She got threes. Like I say, one went through her neck, one went through her arm, and three went straight into her back, 10 feet away, and she lived from it. And to listen to her tell me afterwards, and there's no way I can't believe her.
That's a great story. Thank you so much for calling this evening, Kevin. Let's go west of the Rockies. Gwen in Sacramento, California. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi.
Do you have something you'd like to share with us?
I've been trying to call, like, for a couple of weeks, but...
Well, I'm glad you got through tonight. What's your story for us?
My question is about the paranormal, because I don't believe in ghosts.
Okay.
I never have, but when it comes to sleep paralysis, I tend to see ghosts during that time. So I'm wondering if there's a connection or if it's in my mind.
All right. Now, when you talk about sleep paralysis, are you talking about the classic state where you wake up unable to move, unable to breathe, feels like somebody's laying on you or holding you down? Or is this while you're still awake?
Sleep paralysis, right? Mm-hmm. There where you're in your room and you're pinned down and you can't move. And then all of a sudden I see a woman's face coming out of my bathroom and coming toward my face while I'm laying in bed. Mm-hmm. I freak out and then I wake up. But I don't believe in ghosts. So I'm like, okay, that's the only time I've ever experienced a paranormal type thing.
And have you had this occur more than once?
I've had it happen twice.
Okay, is it always the same?
It's always been during sleep paralysis, so I'm wondering if there's a connection.
Is it always the same figure that approaches you when you're in that state?
No, that was the one time, and then there was a little boy that was standing next to my bed, and I'm in my bed. I'm fully aware of where I am, but there's a little boy standing next to me, and then he walks to the edge of my bed, and then I wake up really quick. And I sit up and I'm like, I just saw a little boy. And then I still see him while I'm awake.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't believe in ghosts, though.
Okay, well,
it's freaking me out.
What it could be?
There's like some kind of connection between.
Sure. Well, let me try to answer you on that. The thing that could be taking place when we are sleeping, our body, the base part of our brain is pumping out an anesthetic basically to our body to keep it from running, jogging. You know, if you're sleeping and dreaming about punching somebody, that's why you're not beating up the person next to you in bed. Your body is in this paralysis state. And what happens is sometimes you'll wake up a little too quickly. And when you do that, the body hasn't reacted and the brain is continuing to pump this out to your body, keeping you in this paralysis state. And it'll eventually fade after 20 to 45 seconds. Well, what'll happen is there's also this thing at that point in your sleep where it's called hypnagogic or hypnopompic states. And those are going in and out of sleep modes. And that's where reality and dream worlds can kind of vex, kind of this fantasy world. So what could happen is nothing paranormal at all. It very well just could be that you're in that sleep and awake state. So you're kind of still having a dream. You're kind of still awake. And because you're kind of alarmed by this paralysis, which can be frightening, and, you know, I don't want to discount that because it can be chilling and frightening. But when you're sleeping, you're in this very relaxed state. Your heartbeat is very low. Your breathing is very deep and shallow. And when you get woken up and you're still in the state, it can feel like you're being suffocated. You can feel like you're being held down. You can feel like you're unable to do what you would normally do. But it's really just kind of the body's way of reacting and protecting you. I don't think it's paranormal in nature. It doesn't mean that from time to time there aren't some weird things that surround that. But if it's the only time it's happened to you, I would lend to believe more of the scientific fact behind it. And you could do more research on hypnagogic and hypnopompic states to see and get more information about how that works. I think you might feel a little bit more secure then about the experiences that you had and not be as fearful. And there's a lot of great information out there about that. But if sleep paralysis continues for you, I always recommend to people, you know, if you have it more often than not, what you need to do is go see a sleep study specialist and make sure that you're not having a neurological situation, because that can be mistaken easily, and we certainly don't want you to deal with that. But if you are having those problems on a regular basis, get it checked out and make sure that you're safe. So thank you for calling in, and hopefully it'll give you a little bit of insight in on that as well. On our show, Darkness Radio, we're on Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. We talk about all aspects of the paranormal, sleep paralysis, and that has come up. And one of the weirder stories we've started to hear from people are employees at sleep study centers. You know, they monitor you with cameras and audio, and we've had some really chilling stories of people. They'll go in, they'll set you up, and you get the little breathing masks or apparatus, or they're testing you prior to giving you that breathing apparatus, kind of following up on all of your stats to make sure you're breathing right, everything's going okay. And they have told us that in those moments, sometimes they've heard voices in the room, and they've gone in to see if maybe another patient has come in, or if you're on your cell phone and you're sound asleep, but they're hearing through the recording, through the microphones, they're hearing voices. They're hearing things moving around in the room while you're sleeping. And a couple of these employees have actually, on the video cameras, have seen forms leave a bedroom and head towards the bathroom or head down the hall, and they'll think the patient might be sleepwalking or has gotten up, and they go to check on them only to find that the patient is still in bed sleeping, and they are in fact alone in this hallway, but they just saw somebody walking around. Chilling stuff. If we have any employees out there that are listening and they're in the sleep study programs, you can be anonymous. If you want to call in and share any of those stories, I'd love to hear it. I'm also hoping to hear from any police officers out there that have had paranormal experiences. What's that like? Do you get called to places, homes, businesses where they're hearing things? When you get there, there's nothing there, but then you begin to hear it. Give us a call. Be a part of the show with us this evening. This is the best in overnight talk radio. You're listening to Coast AM. Thank you very much for joining me. Open phone lines. I want to hear your stories, your questions. What topics would you like to cover tonight on Coast to Coast AM? Make sure if you've missed any part of tonight's show and you'd like to catch up on it, or any of the shows that I've hosted for Coast to Coast AM over the last two and a half years, they're all available. They're all in one place, and it's very easy to access. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. coastinsider.com, where you can become a Coast Insider. You'll get access to 5 years of their past shows. You'll get to hear all the great topics that they cover on the show. You'll get access to listen to the shows and pick and choose as you go along what topics interest you, what you don't like, you can pass over. But for literally 1 year, it's 15 cents a day. And that'll give you access to all of these fantastic shows with George Norrie and all the other great guest hosts of Coast to Coast AM. You'll also get live chats. You'll get news, breaking news, newsletters. You get access to George's TV show. You'll get access to all the information he's doing, his new projects, including ParanormalDate.com, which is his brand new endeavor. Over 11,000 current members around the United States. If you're interested in the paranormal and you'd like to find somebody like-minded to spend some time with, get to know, and maybe even find the one for you, you can become a member and you can go sign up. It's free to sign up. If you decide you'd like to stay on as a member, communicate with other members, use the code word George for deep discounts, and perhaps you'll find somebody to share your life with in the strange and supernatural universe that we are all a part of. We're going to take another quick break. Then we're going to Garth, Gary, and Dave. You're all on deck here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, let's get back. We're taking your phone calls now. Open phone lines for the remainder of tonight's show. Wild card line two, Garth in Sandpoint, Idaho. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Dave. How's it going, buddy?
Good, Garth. What's going on this evening?
Well, this is a story that I told a while back, about 10 years ago. I told it to George.
Okay.
And it's changed a little bit because the seriousness of it is now, you know, I've had a child, you know, since then. Anyway, I had this thing come in my room when I was a little kid, and it freaked the crap out of me, right? And now, every time I hear him like make a noise or something, I didn't realize how heavily it resonated with me, because I get up in the middle of the night and I go to his room and I'm looking around for this freaking thing. You know, you talk about ghosts and things like that tonight. I haven't listened to the program for a while, frankly. I used to be a big fan of the show, love the show. I'm going back to the Art Bell days. When I was a little kid, we were renovating this home, and there was this this entity that used to live in our where it came to. It stayed there for a while in this room that I was living in. It was half built, and it would stay in the far corner across the room, and it was kind of a shadow that was cast across it, and I could feel that it was there all the time, you know, at night, you know. But you're a young person, you know, you have your imagination. There's monsters under the bed, whatever.
Sure.
And so it can be just slightly irrational, you know. And you even know that even as a little person, but you know. I just knew that something was over there, and it was messing with me, and it was looking at me from those shadows, to the point where I would literally get up and walk across the room and start kicking things around and doing whatever to get out of here or whatever.
But you couldn't physically see it; you were just sensing it.
Right. You know, it was. And, you know, my family, particularly my mother's side, they all have they have like an ability or whatever. Things are attracted to them. Let's put it that way.
All right.
So strange things happen. We've been in houses. You go into some houses, you can just sense things. In other houses, you know, quiet, nothing, you know, and just, you know, there's things around. You know, we share this dimension probably, you know, with other things.
And, right.
So this thing is a menacing thing. There's actually the other spirit in the house that, you know, was kind of what mundane, you know, just sort of inert. It just, you know, was there, you know, didn't really, I think it was lost or whatever. Anyway, but this thing was some kind of a menacing something or other. Anyway, and So I go to sleep at night, and this thing would sit there and it would watch me, and I would watch it, and you know, eventually,
what did it look like, Garth? What were you sensing this thing was?
That's the thing.
Okay.
That's the thing. And originally I called in the program because they were doing this thing on shadow people, and they had the picture that night was. So that's why I called in, because I go, that's the thing that I saw, but it was actually, okay, the subject was completely off. Anyway, Anyway, have you ever had a lucid dream, Dave?
Yep, certainly, sure have.
You know, woke up in your subconscious mind, you realize that you're dreaming, and you're like, okay, right. You know, it's kind of like your own little holodeck there for like a minute at least, or, you know, or whatever it is, and you're like,
right,
you want a Ferrari. Okay. So I went through that process, and excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. It wasn't exactly like that. It was. I became aware in my subconscious mind, and then realized that I needed to wake up. And so, like, you know, you kind of like jar things, and you wake yourself up. Anyway,
right.
Sorry, I didn't explain that very well. But the point is that I was aware of something while I was asleep, and then woke myself up in a similar way that you might wake yourself out of a scary dream, or, you know, you retain some sort of consciousness when you're in a subdued state. Anyway, so I woke up as an instantly conscious just like that, and at the foot of my bed, there was this large cloaked creature with red eyes leaning over me, it was a big, giant, intimidating thing, and then clearly it had been there for a while, and of course, it scared the shit out of me, and I got the feeling, you know, later. That's another part. You know, if I hadn't done anything, I think that thing would have just stayed there and kept intimidating me. I think it would have just kept doing that, whatever the hell it was doing. And you know, everybody's reaction to things is different. Mine will always be to, you know, fight or flight. So I jumped at this thing to try and get a hold of it, and I took a swing at it, and I tell you what, you know what? It stepped back as it was looking at me, kind of like taken off guard, and it was like it wasn't expecting that, and I missed it, and then it kind of sort of faded back, and then it disappeared, but it wasn't like, you know, like a figment or something, you know, it was solid. It wasn't like a transparent ghost or something. It was some kind of a being.
Have you had experiences with it more than that one time where you had physical confrontation?
Just the one time. And then that was the thing. I mentioned that before. It's like afterwards it realized, like, I slept soundly the next night. As a young person, I just felt like it was gone. It was just like, you know what, I'm not, this isn't going to work here. It moved
thank
on.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Garth. That's a, wow, what a chilling story to have something creeping around you that you can sense and see it, and then one time it's there with glowing red eyes on the end of your bed. I might have burned that house down and moved. That's me personally, though. Let's go to a wild card, line 5, Gary in Santa Maria, California. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Thank you very much. Wish I didn't have to follow that call.
Right.
I wanted to talk about TPP. George asked me a little bit about it, but he had a, you know, I guess it would have been off topic. You are as familiar with TPP as I am, I think. And what this Congress has done, and please, I want to address these comments particularly to the truck drivers and the Teamsters out there. What this Congress and Senate has done is gotten in our face, point blank, 1 inch from our nose, and flipped us all the bird. They've just about said, we don't care what you think, we're going to do what our international corporations and bankers tell us to do. They don't care if you vote them out of office, because every single one of them have been promised jobs as lobbyists or on board of advisors at 5 to 6 times what they're making as congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
Our country has been bought out hook, line, and sinker, and it's going to be almost impossible to stop. The Democrats and the Republicans have handed fast-track authority to Obama. They're still in the most insidious thing that they have done is that they have covered this trade agreement with a national security blanket. Give me a break. As if we're dealing with some thin-skinned diplomat from Vietnam that's going to get upset. No, these are corporate attorneys that are negotiating this. The corporate, the representatives of these countries, they wear their corporate hat 1 week and represent Vietnam the next week. There is nothing national security related about this. How can they keep it secret where even a congressman is threatened with treason for just mentioning it? They can't even take in a notepad. We elect them to represent us. How do they represent us if nobody knows what's in that agreement? And even if we did know what was in the agreement, it's a living agreement. Once it's passed, it can be changed at any time, secretly. It's bad enough that it's out there. Nobody knows what's in it. They passed it. They slimeballed way of getting it passed, Nancy Pelosi being the biggest culprit that there is, followed by Feinstein, Boehner, Obama. Imagine them. They're right in your face, flipping you the bird. They just don't care anymore. They know where their bread is buttered.
But, okay, Gary, so what do we do in these situations when we face the fact that special interest groups are being paid, the politicians are in the pockets of big corporate America and organizations like this, and they're taking these bribes, they're knowing that their jobs are secure whether they're there or not, moving on, they're going to have some kind of security. It takes the power away from the people. I mean, in that sense, because the people that we put into power hoping they're going to do right by us get the allure of delusions of grandeur to these other things. We have no way of knowing who's going to stick to it and who's not. And like you said, then those that want to step up and speak against it start getting things like treason thrown in their face. How do we rectify a problem like this at this point? What do we do?
Our choices are very few. And one entity that might be able to do something is the Teamsters. They're the only ones large enough and big enough with big rigs that can come up with great problems in the beltway of Washington, D.C. They have stood up to government before, but I'm even starting to have some doubts about the Teamsters. You know, if you're making $35,000 to $70,000 a year, And the Democrats said, well, we're going to protect jobs or we're not going to vote for it. Well, protecting jobs translated into giving you 6 to 12 weeks of unemployment. So they take away your $40,000 a year job. Here, boy, here you go. Here's a $4,000 unemployment check. Now make sure you get your retraining at Walmart and McDonald's because you're going to need it. What kind of job protection compensates a man with $4,000 worth of unemployment when you take away his $40,000 a year job? And I'm beginning to think that the Teamsters want these 300,000 truck drivers coming up from Mexico with their $6 licenses that don't have to pay attention to the DOT transportation and the $3,800 in school that it takes to be a truck driver. And so long as the Teamsters get their 2.5 times whatever the hourly wages and dues, I don't really know if they care about us anymore. The airwaves should be plastered with ads. This national security umbrella that the secret negotiations are under has to be removed. And I don't know if this country has the guts to do it anymore.
All right. Thank you, Gary. I mean, you bring up some interesting points. The problem is, Gary, you're just not passionate enough about it. I don't know that I really believe what you're asking. I'm kidding, of course. Obviously, Gary is a firm believer in those points. East of the Rockies, Dave in Maryland, you're on Coast to Coast AM. What's going on?
Hey, Dave. Well, I'm a correctional officer. I've been listening to your show for a while. I get most of your stuff on TuneIn Radio.
But, great.
You know, like you want police officers to tell you about stories and stuff like that. Well, right. I worked in, like, a very haunted prison. And, you know, I can tell you those stories, like, it kind of leads to the thing. The old prison, you had to go into the MC, the workshops, and it was in a basement, it was dark. Then we moved to a newer prison, and we were in the control center and, like, watching cameras and seeing people, like, what we thought were people down in this one shop where no one should be at. We all run down there, and there's nobody there. We hear at the very end, you know, pigs, get out. screamed over. And there's a lot of stuff that would happen there, being touched and, you know, stuff like that.
Now, what would happen when you talk about this? Were you guys ever threatened or told this isn't happening, don't discuss this? Was there any kind of, you know, lid being put on that?
Well, not really. The whole thing about it was that, like, we were third shift, so we kind of just talked amongst ourselves. It'd be like,
sure.
Like, that's kind of weird. Cause, like, I remember one thing, it was like, you walked the one older prison, the workshop was in the basement, and, like, all the lights were out, and you had to do, like, what they called the Y-man, which he'd walk around and check all the doors. You come down to the bottom. The last stop was this workshop, and it was like this one lighted path from one end to the other end. And on the left to the right was like industrial equipment, and like it was really dark and it was really cold. And you get even colder. And you know that feeling you get when you know someone's there and that you can't see anything. And that's
right.
The best part of this was that you get to the top of the steps, and like I'm kind of like. I lived in Gettysburg for a long time, so had a lot of experience with like ghosts and apparitions, and you know when there's something there, and you have to stick your hand out and try and get this key undone. But when we moved to the newer prison, you know, we're like seeing this on camera, so we have to call the captain. Like, there's like something going on down in the shop. Like, we're seeing movement and people, and there shouldn't be anybody there. And the most chilling of it all was that, like, we're sitting there watching the camera, and I said, "Well, pan down to the door." Pan down the door and you see the doorknob turning, and then the door pops open. Well, the thing about it is that door can't pop open without a key. And like they didn't really kind of like, this is crazy, because they had to like call like almost like what would be like an escape, because there's like doors are opening, you're seeing stuff there. And when they DVR'd the camera, it's like you see like a mist and things like that, and it was kind of hard to explain. And like when I worked at the older prison, there's like work there and you're on a tier on the cell block and you look up and there'd be like mist. I mean, it's a very old prison. It's built in like 1823. Mm-hmm. And you always get that weird feeling like there's somebody there, like right behind you, and it's a terrifying experience for the most part. I was like glad to move to the old newer prison, but at the same time you're like, gee, that wasn't even that much better either.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Boy, working in that environment and already feeling like you kind of got to look over your shoulder anyway to make sure that the living inmates aren't stalking you or wanting to hurt you. And now you're starting to hear things calling out and threatening you, calling you pigs from the darkness and things moving around. You're watching doors that should not be able to open, unlock themselves, and doorknobs move. Yeah, that takes a lot of guts to continue in a job like that.
And it's like, especially at nighttime, like I said, I worked third shift, and like you had the minimal amount of people there, and you're kind of like, man, I hope nothing's happening, because if I don't say it's scary, it takes a lot to scare me, because again, you know, I lived in Gettysburg for a long time, and like I've seen enough stuff there.
Right. Yeah, but it's one thing when you you're working in the prison system, you're working with people, you can put your hands on, you can put them down, you can taser, you can handcuff, whatever it takes to get control of the situation. But when it's sight unseen and it's moving around you and you know it's there and it knows you know that, that's a terrifying moment.
And that's the thing, is like, because they probably didn't like us correctional officers when they're alive. And,
right.
You know, now it's our turn to, you know, give old this officer a little scare or there, and you know, and it worked. I mean, they got me a lot of times. We ran out of there, ran out of one wood shop, like running, because we were like, this is crazy, man. Like these pallets started to fall over, and like the toolboxes were rattling. I'm like, forget
wow.
this. Wow. I don't
well, be
care.
Safe, Dave. Thank you very much for calling in and being a part of the show this evening. We've got more calls. Lindsay and Malcolm on hold. Stay with us. We'll talk to you after the top of the hour. This is the best in overnight talk radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and you're listening to Coast to Coast AM.